want you to take your Bible, please. Turn with me again back to the book of Matthew chapter 10, the book of Matthew chapter 10. Our Old Testament book is the book of... Great! God bless one of you tonight. Wonderful! And our New Testament book is the book of... I hope you know that one. I just told you to turn to it, right? Very good. Matthew chapter 10. I'm giving you part two to a message that I began last Wednesday. And I'll be honest, I don't believe I'm going to get through it tonight. So God willing, I'll probably continue this next Wednesday with part number three, just depending on how far I get tonight. Matthew chapter 10, for time's sake, we're just going to read verse 5 because there's where we get our title from for our lesson in this chapter, chapter 10. The Bible says, "These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, into any city of the Samaritans, enter ye not." And just in case you weren't here last week, I want you to notice the two words in verse 5, "these 12." These 12. I gave you this beginning last week. This is part two tonight. These 12, part number two. Let's pray together. Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for being there for us all times. And Lord, I pray that you help us tonight as we center our attention upon your word. May you speak to us as we seek to preach what you've already said. Help us not to add to it or take away from it. May the will of God be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me repeat some of this just to get you up to date where we are in this message. In chapter 10, in this chapter, we see this chapter opening with the Lord calling his 12 disciples unto him, the Bible says. And let me say again right here, loud and clear, by means of introduction, that this is the first thing that a true disciple of Jesus Christ needs to take into consideration. The Lord calls people unto himself first before he ever sends them out to do anything for him. And we understand that we need to spend time daily with Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 3 verse 14 says, "And he ordained 12 that they should be with him and that he might send them forth to preach." Now he was going to send these 12 out to preach. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. He had a great work for them to do, and he desired to use them for his glory and for his honor. And let me pause here and say that it was truly an honor for these 12 to be called by Jesus Christ unto himself and then sent out by him with his message. They are identified elsewhere in verse number 2 as apostles. And this word apostle means a delegate. It means an ambassador of the gospel. It means a messenger. It means he that is sent and commissioned by Christ. Now tonight I want to focus on these 12 disciples. These 12 is what we're looking at, and we've already gotten started in this. Let me go back and just tap the first two points on the head. Number one, we've noticed these 12 empowered. We saw that in verse number 1 where it says, "And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against the unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease." And in that we simply preach that in order to do something for God, you must have the power of God upon your life. If you bypass God's power, you are not going to do anything worthwhile in the cause of Jesus Christ. Number two, we notice these 12 not only empowered, but secondly, we notice them named. In verses 2 to 4, not going to name them again. Let me just simply say this right here. You can notice as you read through it later that these were simple, common, ordinary people. And God is not looking for extraordinary people. He's just looking for ordinary people who will give their lives to him. That's it. Number three, and this is where we're in the middle of, we notice thirdly, these 12 not only empowered and named, but number three, we notice them instructed. And this carries us from verse 5 all the way down through the end of the chapter. Now there's several points under this. I gave you four of them last week. Let me just mention them and then we'll start with point 5 tonight. First of all, we notice he instructed them in verses 5 to 8 to preach the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, I've already preached on this. You can go back and get it last week if you want it. Number 2, in verse number 8, he instructed them, "Do not put a price on your service." Number three, he instructed them in verses 9 and 10 to trust him to take care of them. Number four, this is where we left off, in verses 11 to 15, he instructed them to guard their character. Now, we pick up with instruction number five tonight, and that is, be ready for opposition. Be ready for opposition. Notice verse number 16 and following. Follow me now. I'm going to read a little bit right here. Verse 16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues, and you shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents, and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. But when they persecute you in this city, flee you into another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. The disciple's not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is not enough for the disciple that he be as his master. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Look at verse number 34. The Bible says, think not that I'm come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against his mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. Now, when you hear that, it sounds also, folks, it sounds discouraging. But what the Lord Jesus Christ is trying to get across to these 12 disciples, he's instructing them and he tells them, I want you to get something straight. If you accept my challenge and you do something for me, the world is not going to like you very much. The world is going to hate you, as a matter of fact. And by the way, if they called me Beelzebub, who do you think you are that they're not going to call you names either? Now, this being the case, he's sharing with them that as they go with the truth, they will be met with opposition. In verse number 16, he says, I'm sending you forth in the midst of wolves, and therefore you're to have common sense, be wise as serpents, use your common sense, and be innocent in the midst of these wicked ones as harmless as doves. Verse number 17, they were to expect opposition from the religious crowd. Verses 18 to 20, they were to expect opposition from the government who would bring them before governors and kings for his sake. And once they were there, they were to share a clear testimony with these people so that those people could hear the truth. In other words, he's saying, they're going to send you before councils. They're going to send you before kings. They're going to send you before governors. But when you get there, you tell them the truth. That's what he's telling them in verses 18 to 20. The Lord then promises to give them the words that they should speak during these times. In verse 21, in verses 34 to 36, this message that he's sending them out to preach would cause some families to be at war with one another. The Lord was telling these 12 that his message of truth would cause some family members to be alienated from one another. It would cause some people who accept this message to have opposition from his own family. Now, folks, how true is this around the world? There are people today scattered around the world that when they trust Christ as their Savior, their parents disown them. And so I don't want anything to do with you anymore. That's exactly what Jesus said would happen. Then in verses 22 and 23, he's just simply saying this opposition is universal. In other words, there are those all around the world who hate Jesus Christ. And those who endure are those truly saved and have that blessed hope some glorious day. Get this, folks. This persecution in one city, in verses 22 to 23, he's saying when you're persecuted in one city, hurry up and take the message to another city. See, they were not to delay in a hopeless town. They were to take their message and go on because time is precious and people need the Lord. And he's saying you've given them a chance. If they say no, go to another, basically, go to another city. Time is running out. You can't sit there and wait and wait and wait. Go on, because other people will accept your message potentially. Verses 24 and 25. He encourages them with the fact that they persecuted him, their master, and they would also persecute them. In other words, if you want to be like Jesus, you must be willing to suffer opposition and suffer persecution. The Bible tells us, don't turn to it, just stay right here and wait on me. In John chapter 13, verse 16, it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant's not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him." In John chapter 15, verse number 20, "Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me," this is Jesus speaking, "they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also." In 1 Peter chapter number 2, and verse number 19 and following, here's what that says. It says this, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 19, "For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps." Hebrews chapter number 10 and verse number 10 and following says, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 10 and following says this, "We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach." The Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 17, it says this, "Herein is love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this present world." I like it that the Lord cuts it straight, friends. The Lord never said to these 12, "You go out and do something for me, it's going to be a cakewalk. It's going to be the easiest thing you've ever done in your life, and you go out and do this, and I'm just telling you, you're going to have a smile on your face all the time." He didn't say that. He took these 12 and he instructed them, and in his instructions, he tells them, "I want you to preach the gospel. I don't want you to put a price on your service. I want you to trust me to take care of you. I want you to guard your testimony. And by the way, I want you to be ready. There's some people not going to like you very much." Then he goes on. Instruction number 6, I like this one. I don't like all of them, I'll be honest with you, but I like this one. Instruction number 6, God will make all things right someday. Look at verse number 26. "Fear them not therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known." Now you say, what's he talking about? He seems to be sharing with them here to keep on going. Keep on being faithful, even in the midst of opposition, because there's coming a day when the truth is going to be revealed. That's what he's saying. God knows all about it. And he knows what's hidden, and he knows what's secret, and he knows what's going on in your life. And he's saying, if you're being opposed, just keep on, keep on, keep on, because someday God is going to make all things right. The Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians 4, 5, "Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God." That's instruction number 6. Instruction number 7. I know this message is not homiletically correct. I understand that. But these instructions are powerful instructions, friends. By the way, these are the same instructions he has for you if you're saved tonight. And instruction number 7 is this: preach his word. Preach his word. Look at verse 27. "What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light.
And what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. In this verse, we see the Lord telling his disciples, as you go out, here's what I want you to preach. I want you to preach what you hear from me. I want you to preach what I tell you in the ear and go up on the housetop where everybody can hear it. The housetop was a very public place. You went up on a housetop back in this day, you didn't care who saw you, basically. And folks, they could hear anything that was going on. And he's saying, I want you to take what I tell you, and I want you to go up on the housetop. I want you to sound the trumpet, and I want you to tell the people what I tell you. That's what I want you to tell them. Let me tell you what a preacher's job is: to glorify God and preach his word, period. You say, what are you talking about? Let me tell you what this blessed book does. It sets a preacher free. I'm as free as a bird up here, friends. Let me tell you why. Because I'm giving you what God said. And if I give you what God said, my authority's not me, it's him. People don't need what I think, and they don't need what I believe, listen to what necessarily I even believe, even though I believe the right thing. But they don't need my beliefs. They don't need my philosophy. They don't need my thoughts. They need the Word of God. And Jesus said, here's an instruction for you to keep. You give them what I give you. You preach my Word to them. 2 Timothy 4:2 says, preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Instruction number 8. I've got it by letters, so I hope H is the 8th letter of the alphabet. Letter H. Let me just do it that way. How's that sound? Fear God, not man. We see this in verse number 28. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Now, the Lord has already dealt with opposition in this message. He's already told them they're not going to like you. He's already told them they're going to send you before governors and before kings. In other words, they're going to put you in front of some of the most powerful humans on the face of the earth. They're going to put you there and put you on trial. And I'm telling you, keep going. Someday God's going to make it right. And you keep giving the word of God. And oh, by the way, don't fear a man. That the only thing he can do is take your body down. Fear God, who's all-powerful. Now, folks, when you see the progression he's going through here, do you see it? You see the progression a little bit? He's saying, listen, I know I just told you that they're going to put you before kings and put you before counselors and all these kind of things, and all these religious doodaddies up here are going to try to look down their nose, but I'm telling you, the only thing those people can do, they can kill your body. But that's as far as they can go. They can go no further. God is not limited. And he's saying, if you fear anybody, fear God, not man. You know what's missing today? The fear of God. And the sad thing is, it's missing a lot of times in the hearts and lives of his children. Let me ask you a question. Now just think with me. If a Christian does not read their Bible every day, if a Christian does not pray every day, if a Christian does not share their faith, by the way, why do some people not share their faith? Why do some people not give the gospel? Because they're afraid. Follow it up. Afraid of what? Let me tell you what you're afraid of. Human beings. If you don't give the gospel, it's lack of fear of God. You want me to tell you why we ought to do what we do? Because we respect and love and fear God, my friends. And Jesus said, when you go out, don't fear man. Man's limited. Fear me, who is not limited. The Bible says in Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man bringeth a snare. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Ecclesiastes 12:13, after Solomon had went through all of life and had all of these ladies, all these women. In other words, just like the world would say, listen, just live it up, live it up. He had, what, 300 wives and 700 concubines, I think it was. I remember a story of a kid said he had 300 wives and 700 porcupines. And all through that book, you can read it for yourself. He said, I looked this, and there's nothing new under the sun. And I just decided everything's vanity and vexation of spirit. That's the book of Ecclesiastes. You know what vanity means? It means emptiness. He's saying, I look around, and folks, here's a lady who had 1,000 women. He had all the money that he could ever desire. And he said, when I looked around everywhere, everything was completely empty. There's a message in that somewhere. He comes down to the end of the book, and he said this statement in Ecclesiastes 12:13. He said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. It took him the whole book to get to it, but he finally got it, friends. He realized that what life is about is not pleasing self and hoarding things for self. He realized that life is about fearing God and pleasing Him with your life. This is what the Lord is teaching them here. Then instruction letter I. Are you with me now? Say amen if you're with me. Amen? Good. Good. I like that. That was good. Almost on time too, you know? Great. Letter I, God will take care of them. Now, I know you say that sounds like a former one. No, the former one was, trust Him. This one is, He's going to take care of you. Now, look at verse number 29 and following. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear you not, therefore. Ye are of more value than many sparrows. Now you say, Jody, what's the point here? Well, he shares with these people how two sparrows are sold for a farthing, which is approximately 1/2 cent. Okay, approximate. Some people go as low as 1/4 cent, 1/4 cent to 1/2. Somewhere in there, that's how much. In other words, two sparrows, you can get two for 1 farthing. But he goes on to share with them that even though these are the cheapest birds you could get, not one of them falls to the ground without their Heavenly Father's eye watching it all the way. Now stay with me here. In other words, he's saying, I'm watching over the sparrows, and I will not allow it to fall to the ground except it fall through my hand first. And he's saying, don't fear. You're worth more than many sparrows. Do you see how he's dealing with these people? He's dealing with them just like you have to deal with your child. Honestly, don't. Hey, a storm comes. Have y'all's children still living at home? Hope it's not a teenager, but anyway. Have y'all's children still living at home are afraid of storms. Would you raise your hand? I mean, afraid of them. Thunder, lightning. Here they come. Here they come. Oh, Daddy. That's what my brother does. No, I'm just kidding with you. I had to throw that in there. When those kids come, what do you do as a parent? Oh, you know what we do? We say, you know, Jesus is making that storm. Jesus loves you. He's not. He's going to take care of you. Don't worry about it. But isn't it sweet how when they get close to mommy and daddy, everything's going to be okay? You know what I'm talking about. It's like the Lord's gathering His little chickens to Him here. And He's saying, I'm going to send you out. There's going to be some storms out there. It's going to get hard. It's going to get rough. But can I tell you a story? I want to tell you a story to help you here. There's two sparrows over here, And if you sold them, you'd only get one farthing, somewhere between a quarter and a half cent for them. But my father and your father, he's so interested in them that none of them fall to the ground without his knowledge. And saying, listen, son, listen, daughter, if he's so interested in a little bird that he created and is so cheap to man, how much more do you think he's going to care for you who he died for? Do you see how he's dealing here? Isn't this beautiful how he's dealing? Let the Word of God come alive. And he goes on, and he doesn't stop there. He goes on to say, the very hairs of your head are numbered. Now, what does that mean? Here's what it means. Now, I realize that some people would poke fun and make jokes. I'm not going to do that. But people rip me all the time. So should I not be able to rip other people? I don't know. I'm not going to do it because you reap what you sow. You see what I'm saying? You reap what you sow. Don't get me tickled. That was hilarious. Anyway, he goes on to say, the very hairs of your head are numbered. Now, it's interesting. Maybe you wouldn't catch this. If you've heard me preach quite often, you may have already heard me bring this point out. But let me just bring out a powerful thought here. Notice he didn't say, oh, by the way, the very hairs of your head are counted. He didn't say that. He said, no, the very hairs of your head are numbered. There's a big difference. For instance, let's just say this. Let's say I come up to Mr. Fields here. I would love to do this, but I don't think I will. And let's say that I reached up here and I grabbed one of your hairs. You know, hair is singular and plural, but I mean, why do you have to? Anyway, that's an English lesson. Forget English. I got rid of it years ago. But anyway, if I reached up and grabbed a hair and pulled it out, are you listening? If he had his hairs counted, he knows how many he's got left. That would be a miracle in itself, wouldn't you agree? But he said he didn't have them counted. He had them numbered. That means if I've reached up and pulled a hair out, he only knows how many he has left. He knows what number I took out of his head. He knows exactly which one I pulled out. He is that interested in us. He not only knows how many hairs he created, he knows which hair is which. And good night when you run a comb through your hair and all them hairs are in there, he knows that's number 400, that's number 2, that's number 3, and for some people, this is the highest it gets, that's number 55. I'm sorry, I said I wasn't going to say anything like that, wasn't I? Now you say, Jody, what's the point? That's a little bit of humor, but don't miss what he's saying. He's basically telling them, listen, he is so interested in you that if your hair falls off your head, he knows which ones are left and which ones are gone. And he's saying, he will take care of you. That's what he's saying here. Do you see that? Do you understand what he's saying? Then, letter number J. This is as far as I'll get tonight, I believe. Letter number J. That is this. Again, he goes back and he's telling them. He brings them to himself. He gives them his power. He names them so we can see they weren't mighty people. They were just common, ordinary people. And he says, before you go out, here's my instruction. Sit down. I'm going to teach you a little bit before you go out. I'm taking you to class. You need to understand some things. Point number one, preach the gospel. Number two, don't put a price on your service. Number three, trust God to take care of you. Number four, guard your character. Don't just yoke up with anybody. Number five, be ready for opposition. Number six, God will make all things right one of these days. Number seven, preach my word. Number eight, fear God, not man. Number nine, God will care for you just like he cares for the birds, and he's so interested in you that he has the very hairs of your head numbered and counted. Now, number 10, which is letter J. We see this in verses 32 and 33, and that is this, don't be ashamed of the Lord. Don't be ashamed of the Lord. Look at verse 32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Now, these are verses that get people torn all to pieces. Let me just say this to you. I'm not going to deal with this in depth here because I preached through the book of 2 Timothy, and in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12, I went into depth on this, what it means. I'm simply just going to give you a summary statement. We know through the study of the Word of God that if one denies the Lord and he remains in the state of denial, he or she was never saved. Now, did you hear what I just said? If somebody denies the Lord and they remain in that state and there's no chastisement, there's nothing like that, that person is not a believer. Amen, friends. I know what I'm talking about. We know that we as Christians can deny the Lord. Why? Because Peter did. He denied him three times, but did Peter stay in the state of denial, yes or no? No, he did not. Because a true child of God will get the daylights beat out of him, and he will not stay in that state of denial for very long. Amen now. So what is he saying to his children? He's speaking to his children. Is he teaching they can lose their salvation? No. We'll deal with that later. Working on it now in my study. Aren't you glad you're saved forever? Glory. But by the way, you need to know why you believe that. That's what I want to try to do, is help you understand why we know we're saved forever. But that's not what these verses are dealing with. He's simply saying this. When you go out and all these things start happening, don't ever be ashamed of me. Don't ever be ashamed to confess who you are. You ought to hold up not because yourself. Who in their right mind, no matter what comes, would hang their head and say, yes, I'm a child of God. I'm going to heaven when I die. I'm going to a place where no more sin is. No more. I'm going to a place where there's no more death. I'm so sorry. He's saying, listen, you're my child. Don't ever be ashamed to tell people who you are. Now, Romans 1:16 says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, also to the Greek. Now tonight, this is part two. I'm not done. And I've got so much to go. I think there's only three more to go, I believe. Let me make sure I'm telling you right on that. One, two, three. There's three more to go, but there's a little bit under each one. I don't want to fly through it. I don't think the Lord's in that. He wants you to understand what he's saying here, you know. So I'm gonna put the reins on right here, but let me just go right back over this real quickly. These 12, now we know one of them was a devil. One of them was a devil. And one of them was going to deny him. And he's telling him, you deny me, I'll deny you. He's loving Judas because he knew everybody he was talking to. But as he was dealing with these 12, three things we're looking at. He empowered them. He named them. He instructed them. And in these instructions, we need to understand that God Almighty himself is still giving these same instructions to me. Preach the gospel. Don't put a price on your ministry. Trust your Father to take care of you. Don't just yoke up with anybody. Guard your testimony. Be ready because people are going to oppose you. But someday God's going to make those things right. Keep preaching his word. Don't fear man who's limited, but fear God who's not limited. God is going to take care of you whether you trust him or not. And don't ever be ashamed to confess who you are to this lost and dying world. I think the Lord knows what he's talking about. What about you? And made up to this point now, we've got three more to go, but up to this point, the Lord is speaking to our hearts. Now, what's He saying to you? Let's do business with Him. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we love You tonight. Thank You for Your goodness to us. Thank You for this Bible study through this chapter of Matthew. We love You tonight. Thank You for all You've done for us. Would You guide our thoughts? Help people to respond. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. I don't know how God is dealing with you, but they're going to begin to play through softly. And if the Lord is speaking to your heart, maybe about one of these instructions, why don't you come? Maybe some of you all are being opposed tonight. Family members are opposing you, or co-workers are opposing you, or maybe tonight God's speaking to you because you realize that you can't do it in your own power and your own strength. He spoke to you about how He called them unto Himself and gave them power against the devil. What's the Lord speaking to you about? Talk to Him about it. Talk to Him about it. Father, take it, use it in a great way. Help us all to respond. Speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Not going to have any singing tonight. They're just playing through softly. But if God is speaking to you right now, why don't you stand to your feet, come to this altar, and ask God to help you. It may be for His power. It may be for a specific instruction that you heard tonight. And the Lord is dealing with you as they play. Right now, just stand to your feet, come to this altar, talk to the Lord about it. Folks are responding. There's time for you. Come on. Talk to God about it. Maybe you want to come and say, Lord, I need Your power. I need Your strength to do what You've given me to do. Whatever it is, you come talk to God about it. Our Father God, we love You tonight. We thank You that we who are saved, You have saved our souls. And Lord, You not only save us, but You give us a work to do. But we need Your power. And we need to spend more time with You. Loving You and worshiping You and listening to You. You told the disciples to take what You told them and preach it. But in order for them to take what You told them, they had to spend time with You. So help us to spend time with You. Help those who are here tonight who may have family members who are lost. Use their testimonies to reach these people, I pray. Thank You for Your goodness in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you just to remain quiet there just a moment. I'll ask Brother Wade if he wants to come. We've got some missionary items to take care of tonight. I'm gonna call